Well, we continue tonight with our study through the book of 1 John, the letter of 1 John. We are at 1 John chapter 1, and we'll be looking tonight at verses 5 to 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Let me read it for us, and then we'll pray, and then we'll take a look at it. 1 John chapter 1, and beginning in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's pray. Father, we always are so grateful to be back in your house with your people for the purpose of worship. And of course, we are so grateful for our Christ, as we just read, who provides us with forgiveness of sins in his name and the cleansing from all unrighteousness in his name. And so it is to him we give honor and glory. It's to him that we exalt and we praise. It is to him that we sing our praises and we give our praises over to, because he is worthy of all our honor and all our glory and all of our praise and all of our blessing and everything that we could do or say in worship and spirit and in truth. And so we come together for that purpose, to worship. And now that is our desire once again. We have worshiped in song, and now we worship together over the word. And we pray for your blessing over your word as we hear it preached here tonight. And we ask for this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as we continue trucking right along in this letter that John writes for us as believers, we come now to this section that has to do with walking in the light. And if we're not careful, as we can do with much perhaps of 1 John as we work through it together, we will misunderstand what John's message for us in this passage and in the passages that follow that help us to understand what it is to walk in the light. We know that life is filled with choices. Life is filled with many different diverging pathways, many different forks in the road. And it is just as true in life as it is when you're driving on the road, that you have to take the right roadway. You have to take the right way to get somewhere. You have to take the right exit off the interstate. You have to take the right turn down the road, if you don't do so, then you will wind up somewhere where you never intended to be. You will wind up somewhere where you never wanted even to be. And the same is true for life. We must walk down the proper pathway. We must make the right choices and make the right turns, or not make the wrong turns, so to speak. Stay on the straight and narrow is one way that we've heard it put. Stay on the correct path. Stay on the yellow brick road, to use the old Wizard of Oz movie, if you want to finally make it to the right and proper destination. Here John talks about it in terms of walking in the light. We need to walk in the light. But what does he mean here by walk in the light? How are we to understand what it means to walk in the light according to what John and, of course, the Holy Spirit through John would have us to understand? And I think it's going to be, hopefully for us, very insightful as we consider what it means for us to walk in the light. And so to begin, I want to take a look first at verse 5 in order to find a definition, if you will, for walking in the light. The definition of walking in the light, John says to us in verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So, what's the definition then of walking in the light? Well, to not put too fine of a point on it, God himself is the definition for what it means to walk in the light. God is the definition for what the light is. That is what John says. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So that God does not just simply walk in the light as we are to walk in the light. God himself is the light. And there's a big difference in those two understandings. God doesn't simply walk in the light, but he himself is the light. And because of that, we know that God himself defines for us what the light is. And I find it fascinating that John's primary concern, really in all of his writing, is that we know God. His primary concern is to reveal God himself to us. He writes his gospel, and he tells us in his gospel that he writes these things that we would know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that we would believe it. And by believing, we would have eternal life in his name. Even the book of Revelation, which John writes, he writes, it is all about the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's how the book opens, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is really what the whole book of Revelation is about. It's about knowing Jesus. Yes, there is to the first look at the naked eye, it's a strange book with many different images and strange sounding phrases and strange sounding visions that John might have. But the purpose of Revelation is to reveal Jesus Christ, to reveal him as the owner of the creation and therefore as the possessor of the creation. And so that really is the main point and main thrust of the book of Revelation. John is very jealous to tell us about God and to get us as believers into a deeper relationship with God through a deeper knowledge of who God is. He begins his gospel in this way, John does in chapter 1 and verse 4. In him, that is in the Word, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. And this connection, by the way, of light to God, God is light, is not unique to John, although he seems to really like this analogy and this metaphor in the way that he writes. But it is one of the pictures of God and one of the statements about God that we find throughout the whole of Scripture. And it's really kind of fun. And let me do this, if we can trace out this concept of light in God very quickly. You find some really important connections as you work your way through the revelation that we have through the canon of the Scriptures. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." In Exodus 13, 21, "The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night." Exodus 27, verse 20 says, "You shall command the people of Israel that they bring to you pure beaten olive oil for the light, that a lamp may regularly be set up to burn. In the tent of meeting outside the veil that is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall tend it from evening until morning before the Lord. And it shall be a statute forever to be observed throughout their generations by the people of Israel." In Psalm 27, 1 of David, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. In whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" In Psalm 43, 3, it says, "Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling." Isaiah 42, 6 says, "I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will keep you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations." And then John 1, 9 says, "The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world." And then Jesus says in John 3:19, the light has come into the world. And then Jesus says again in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, it says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Then Hebrews 12:2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And then Hebrews 13:12 says that Jesus suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek a city that is to come. And then Revelation 21:23 says, and the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. And then Revelation 22:5 says, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And that's just a quick sampling of the Scripture's testimony to God as light. Now, if this is true, that God defines the light for us, then how does he do so? In what way, then, is God light? Well, for one thing, God is light in the reality of his glory. God is light in the reality of his glory. You remember what the seraphim saying, and that vision that Isaiah had of the Lord seated on a throne in the year that King Uzziah died? The seraphim are flying with their six wings, and with two they flew, with two they covered their eyes, and with two they covered their feet. And they call to another in Isaiah 6:3 saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The glory of God, the radiance of God, is itself light that reveals his glory to the world. It is the revelation of his glory to the world. God is light in the reality of his glory. God is also light in the reality of his absolute manifold perfections, which is his glory, his absolute manifold perfection. Jesus says, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, but people love darkness rather than light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light lest his work be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen his works have been carried out in God. God is light in the reality of his absolute manifold perfections. God is also light in his revealing of spiritual reality to sinners. He is light in his revealing of spiritual reality to sinners. I read 2 Corinthians 4 just a second ago, but here's 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. In their case, that is, in the minds of unbelievers, the God of this world has blinded the mind of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. One of the things, spiritually speaking, that happens at conversion is that God reveals spiritual reality to the sinner. He enlightens the sinner, shines the light of revelation upon the cold, calloused, and dead and hardened heart of the sinner, and brings to new spiritual life what was once dead. And that's what Paul is detailing there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's the same thing, for example, when Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you remember what Jesus' response was? You're blessed. Because my Father revealed this to you. My Father in heaven has revealed this to you. God is light in his revealing of spiritual reality to sinners. And then Another point, number four, God is light in bringing us, therefore, into spiritual life. John 1, 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. This then is what it means to walk in the light. It means to walk in the very life of God. Which is why John connects it to darkness. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. In other words, God is life, and God is the source of life. In him, then, in God, there is no death. There is no decay, because in God there is no evil. There is no unrighteousness. There is no impurity. There is nothing to decay, because all that God is life. And so to walk in the light is to walk in God, and to walk in God is to walk in life. That's what it means to walk in the light, to walk in the life of God. So that's the definition then of walking in the light. And so what's the next thing that John has to say to us about walking in the light? Well, the next thing that he has to say to us is about the fellowship then of walking in the light. He says in verse 6, if we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the fellowship. Walking then in the light begins with walking in the light with God through Christ. We walk in the light of God and in the life of God through faith in Jesus Christ. But this fellowship doesn't end only with a fellowship between us and God himself. It extends to walking in that same light with one another as well. A wonderful thought then, that each of us, each and every one of us, individually and uniquely walking in the light, but also walking thereby in fellowship with God, and then thereby walking in fellowship with one another. So Christianity and the Christian faith and our Christian walk is not some kumbaya experience where it's just me, my Bible, maybe some stringed instrument by a fire out in the wilderness singing kumbaya all night long. That is not what the Christian life is. We're not monks secluding ourselves into some back room of a monastery in order to receive some kind of deeper spiritual enlightenment through personal individual meditation. We walk in light as we walk in fellowship with one another. Isn't this what John has already said in verse 3? That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. His concern then is fellowship. Fellowship first with God, but also fellowship with one another. Fellowship. Fellowship together to belong to something bigger than each of ourselves individually and uniquely, as different as we each might be. We come together into one body, into one group, into one communion of people known as the people of God. You know, it's very sad. You look out on the culture, and this isn't necessarily unique to our culture, but it's the culture we live in, and so it's the one we're more ready to observe at the very least rather than read about in the history books. But you look out at a lost world and a dying culture, and you see dividing lines that happen. People want so badly to belong. People want so badly for someone to identify with and for someone to identify with them. And the unfortunate thing in a world that is covered in darkness and in a world that is covered in death is that people wind up wanting someone that they can identify with in their vice. They wind up wanting someone that they can identify with in their wickedness and in their sin. They love the darkness, but then they want company in their darkness. As Jesus himself said, they love darkness rather than light, John 3:19. And that's the judgment. But it's lonely in the darkness. It's lonely in the black. And so people try to find others to keep them company in the darkness. But the real reason that the darkness is so lonely is because God's not there. And the longing to belong, the longing to have communion, the longing to have community. You ever wonder why they keep calling all these different groups of vices communities? We have communities for every vice under the sun, it seems, and communities for every sin under the sun. Why? Because people want community. But what they're really longing for is fellowship with God. It is the echo of the image of God within them, and an echo of the reality that all the way back in the book of Genesis, we were made for God. But because of our sin, we cannot have fellowship with God if we walk in the darkness. And so sinners seek fellowship with other sinners in their sin to salve the wound, if you will, and to put a little ointment on it. It's very sad and very tragic. And even that is a false fellowship with someone else. But instead, the gospel, the message of the gospel, calls us to fellowship with God through Christ. And in that, it calls us to find true fellowship with other believers that is in the light rather than in the darkness. A fellowship in the light of life instead of a false community and a false fellowship in the darkness of death. It's no wonder then why in a world where everyone, thanks to the internet, thanks to social media and so forth, in a world where everyone seems to be as connected to each other as they have ever been, there is so much loneliness and longing. Because true fellowship comes through walking in the light, not walking in the darkness. So if that's true, the definition of walking in the light is to walk in the life of God. And if it's true that it is through that fellowship with God that we receive and enter into true fellowship with other believers who also themselves are walking in the light and walking in the life of God. If all that's true, then how do we do that? How do we walk in the light? It seems to be really important that we walk in the light, so how do we do this? How do we engage in walking in the light? And so we must be careful here, because this is the point where it is easy. And we might jump straight to what we do to walk in the light. Here's your spiritual disciplines. Do these things and you'll be walking in the light as you do these things. Here's your discipleship 101. Here's your training program. Here's your 10 steps to a better you. 10 steps to a deeper walk with Christ. But that's not what John does here, is it? It's very important what John does. Because John here has quite a bit of exhortation, by the way, to give to us as believers. And we'll see that as we read through this letter and work through this letter together. But ultimately, it all begins right here in the very opening verses. And if you take later on in 1 John, if you take those commands without considering this grounding, then you will accidentally, potentially turn a lot of 1 John into legalism rather than the freedom and eternal life that he wants us to enjoy together. So how do we walk in the light? According to John, how do we walk in the light? Well, that's our last point, the way of walking in the light. Now, let me set up the problem for you as we consider the way of walking in the light. The problem is this: God is light. As we've already said, He is pure, holy, righteous. In Him, no death, no decay, no evil, no imperfection, no darkness at all. And John says we need to walk in the light as God Himself is in the light. But what do we do about the reality that we don't? What do we do about the reality that we are sinners? What do we do about the reality that we are not like God at all? We are unholy, unrighteous, undeserving to walk alongside Him. In fact, the Psalms in the Old Testament call to mind the fact that God cannot even dwell in wickedness. He cannot even have it before Him, the concept of evil and unrighteousness. So how in the world are we going to walk alongside Him as He walks in the light? If we need to walk with Him in the light, but we can't, then how do we walk in the light? So with that in mind, here's the problem as John defines it in these verses. And you'll find it in the parallels between verse 6 and verse 8 and verse 10. Here's one characteristic of the problem. He says, if we say we have fellowship with Him while we are in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. In other words, this is a potential group of people who say that they have fellowship with God. They say that they walk in the light. They profess to walk in the light with Him and have fellowship with Him. But in reality, we are in darkness. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we are in darkness, we lie. We're liars, professors of faith, without being possessors of true faith. And these kind of people are all over the world. People who claim to have fellowship with God. Some even claim to have fellowship with God, not on the basis of what we would call some false religion, some non-Christian religion, but some would even claim to have fellowship with the one true God of Christianity because of some sort of connection that they might have to a church due to a family connection or whatever the case might be. You'll see it in the broader culture. Just to use some extreme examples, you'll see it in the broader culture in award shows where actors or musicians who put out the most evil and vile of material will receive their little plastic statues and then thank their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for all the blessings that have been bestowed upon them and their career accomplishments. One can claim to be in fellowship with God all day long while actually be walking in the darkness. This is the first category of people that John gives us here in verse 6, the kind of people who say we have fellowship, but actually are walking in darkness. Verse 8 gives us another category of people, and here they are. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Here, it is people who do not acknowledge sin at all. These are people who claim that sin is non-existent, that there really is no such thing as evil. There really is no such thing as unrighteousness. In common vernacular, in modern terms, the kind of people perhaps who talk about living your truth, that's one of the big buzzwords and catchphrases of our day. You just live your truth. Be who you are. Follow your own heart. Indulge in your own desires. There's no right or wrong. There is just simply who you are. And so you go and live your truth. That's an example of the 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 kind of person. The kind of person who does not acknowledge the reality of evil at all. John says here, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You're deceiving yourself to think that there is no evil, that there is no unrighteousness, that there is no sin. He says the truth is not in them. Verse 10 then gives us another category of people. This category of people is the kind of people who say, we have not sinned. So this is the kind of person, unlike the verse 8 category, this is the kind of person who acknowledges that there is sin in the world and then looks at themselves and says, I have no sin. So they would acknowledge evil, but I don't have a problem with that. I don't need to repent. I'm a good person. There's nothing wrong with me. Why should someone like me have to do that? I live a good life. I'm a good husband. I'm a good father. I take care of my family. I take care of my kids. I don't try to hurt anybody. I try to do right by people. I try to be nice. I try to give when I can. Sure, there's sin. Sure, there's evil. But I don't have anything to do about it. Or I don't have to do anything about it. Because I don't engage in that sort of thing. Never murdered anybody. Barely even taken a pencil from a classmate in grade school, for Pete's sake. Just a morally upright person. Three different potential categories of evil people. The kind who say they have fellowship with him but are in darkness. The kind who don't even acknowledge that sin exists at all. And the kind who might acknowledge that sin, evil, wickedness, whatever you want to call it, sure it exists, but it's not a problem for me. And notice the underlying problem in all three scenarios. In the first one, they do not practice the truth. In the second one, the truth is not in us. In the third one, his word is not in us. In other words, if we have this attitude towards sin, any of these attitudes, we are not walking in the light of God's word. This is not an appropriate attitude towards sin. And to have these kinds of attitude towards sin is to not walk in the light of God's word. In fact, he makes it really emphatic in that third category where he says that if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Why? Because God says that we are sinners. And so to claim to not be a sinner is to conversely call God a liar in the process. Because God's own testimony to us, which we've seen, for example, in Romans chapter 3, God's own testimony is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's not the only place in Scripture you'll find that kind of testimony. In fact, in Romans 3, Paul quotes the Psalms, doesn't he, in order to make his point. We have all sinned. And therefore, to have this kind of attitude towards sin means that we are not walking in the light of God's word. Well, then, how do we walk in the light? How do we walk in the light? Well, to see that, we see the parallels between verse 7 and verse 9. If we walk, so here's the parallel. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And then verse 9, so here's the parallel. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, since we are sinners, what does it mean for us to walk in the light? It means to be the kind of people who confess our sins to him and trust him to cleanse us and forgive us. That's what it means to walk in the light. It's not about doing things for God in order to prove that you're walking in the light with him. It's about confessing the reality of your own sinfulness to him so that he will cleanse you and bring you into the light with him. What do you think Paul says that kind of stuff? Like, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness in Colossians and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, from the domain of darkness and into his marvelous light, as he says later. That's how we walk in the light. Walking in the light of life that is found in Jesus Christ is not about doing all the right things, saying all the right things, being all the right places, being perfect so that we can make it into the light of God. Instead, the foundation of walking in the light of life found in Jesus Christ comes through confession of sin and receiving forgiveness for those sins in Jesus' name. So John here, because look, he says down in chapter 2, verse 1, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if you just rip that verse out of context, you say, well, John is preaching perfectionism. But he's not. He wants us to live according to the commandment of God. That's exactly what he goes on to talk about. By this we know we've come to know him if we keep his commandments. He wants us to live a holy life. But just like Paul does in Romans 7, he wants us to remember that the foundation of a holy life is a forgiven life, not a perfect life. The only hope that we have to live in holiness and righteousness and godliness is to know that our sins are forgiven already. So to walk in the light means to walk in the confession of sin. John is not here talking about perfection of life. He's talking about direction of life. He's talking about a lifestyle. The lifestyle of a true believer is a life of faith, but a life of penitent faith, not a life of perfection. That's the key. That's the difference. Anyone else, you know, any unbeliever has in their heart a lackadaisical, carefree concern about sin. But the believer understands his sin and knows what it means and desires to confess it. And the promise here is that when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will forgive us. That's what it means to walk in the light. You say, well, what do we do? So a lifestyle. We confess our sins daily. You know, there's a really beautiful, and we'll close with this picture. There's a really beautiful picture of that. And the picture of it is in that scene when Jesus stoops to wash the feet of the disciples. You remember that? And Jesus tells them, you've already been cleansed, but you need your feet washed. And the picture is, you know, you would bathe yourself in that culture. You would bathe yourself. And then what you would do is whenever you would enter into somebody's household, you know, it's very dirty, very sandy and all those kinds of things. And so, you know, they didn't have Nikes like we do today. So what you would do is you would take your shoes off when you entered somebody's house and you would wash the dirt off your feet. And the picture that Jesus is painting there is that you've already been washed. But sometimes you do need to wash your feet off. And I'm the only one that can do that. And so he stoops to wash the disciples' feet. You're already washed. But sometimes your feet still get a little dirty. And that's a picture of a life of penitent faith in daily washing. We've already been cleansed. But the daily confession is the picture of that daily washing of that stain of indwelling sin that still keeps wanting to rear its ugly head every day, just like we talked about this morning. This is how we walk in the light, to be a people who confess our sins and trust God just as he said he would, that he'll forgive us of our sins. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you for this reminder that salvation brings us into fellowship with you. And the way that you do that is by cleansing us. And the way that you cleanse us is through faith and faith alone and by your grace and your grace alone. And so this reminder that to walk in you and to walk in the light and to walk in your life is something that comes only through faith in Christ. Lest any of us should boast. And so may we again, as we have sought for and prayed for, we pray again that this would bring us such a wonderful peace and assurance that salvation is found only in the name of Jesus Christ. And that entrance into the light of life is found only in his name. And so we pray for this over our hearts as we go out into a world, as we go out to be faithful, we go out to be obedient. And when we do fail, when we do fall, when we do struggle, when we do mess up, when we do sin, that if we confess, you are faithful and just to forgive us where we fail you. We ask for this blessing over us in Jesus' name. Amen.